Good morning and happy solemnity. Not even just a regular feast, happy solemnity of St. John the Baptist, the birth of John the Baptist. Did you know that St. John the Baptist is one of the only saints who gets two feast days in the year? I mean, aside from the Blessed Virgin Mary, she's cheating because she's all over the place. The only other one I can think of is St. Paul. And why? Well, St. Peter and St. Paul each. There's a funny story, actually, why St. Peter and St. Paul also get two feast days. Because during the Roman persecutions, when the early Christians, they had moved the bones of each of them to the catacombs of St. Sebastian. And they were underneath the same altar. And then they would celebrate. It's like the feast day of St. Peter. And they felt bad because they were skipping over St. Paul. And he's right there. And then the feast of St. Paul would come. They'd feel bad because they're skipping over St. Peter. So then they invented a second feast, Saints Peter and Paul, so they could celebrate them both together. And then eventually, obviously, they moved their bones back to the current day Basilica of St. Peter and the current day Basilica of St. Paul outside the wall. So John the Baptist also gets two feast days. And I think, you know, we don't understand just how big and how important a figure John the Baptist was during his day and in the early church. Because for very good reason, we put all our focus on Jesus, right? So imagine this. We know that throughout salvation history, you know, God raised up Moses. Moses gave a covenant. He led the people of Israel. And then they eventually, through Joshua, they entered the promised land. The walls of Jericho came down. You know, they invaded the promised land. And then they were led by what we call judges. The judges were people like Gideon, for example. Not too long ago, we read about him. And the people said, "We want a king." And eventually, God gave them Saul. And Saul was no good. So then they gave him King David. And the house of David would reign forever, right? But the house of David, from that moment onwards, started going downhill in a hurry, and most of the kings flat out were bums. They weren't that good. The kingdom was split in two. Then God started sending prophets. Prophets to the northern kingdom, prophets to the southern kingdom, reminding the people of the covenant and telling them, if you don't get your act together, something bad is going to happen. Lo and behold, Babylon comes, smashes Israel, takes them all into captivity. After 70 years, they get to return. And there are a couple more prophets just when they're getting going. They rebuild the temple. And then what happens? For 400 years, silence. God doesn't speak to his people anymore. They're there. They have a temple. They offer up worship. They go through some trials like the Maccabees, but God doesn't send any more prophets. And the Jewish people are forced to look over the messages of the prophets beforehand and to search Scripture, and they realize someday there's going to come a Messiah. And the Messiah is going to be at the same time, he's going to be a new Moses and a new David. And he's going to be a great prophet, like a new kind of a new Elijah, right? He's going to be like, and he's going to bring in a new covenant. And this covenant is going to last forever. The kingdom of the Messiah is going to be something like they've never seen before. And before he does that, he's going to send them a prophet. He's going to send them the prophet Elijah. So 400 years pass, and the Jewish people realize the times of the Messiah must be coming, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a prophet appears. Now, Jewish people at this point, because of the Roman Empire, they ever since Babylon, the Jewish people, they got smashed and they got sent all over the Roman Empire. Well, originally all over the Middle East, and then eventually with Alexander the Great, and then the Romans, all over the Roman Empire. Which means you have Jews all over the Mediterranean, but those pious Jews would return back to Israel, to Jerusalem, to do their pilgrimages. And every time they went back, they started hearing the news, there's a prophet in Israel. So John the Baptist became famous all over the Roman Empire. He wasn't just like some little local thing. People knew everywhere the Messiah must be coming. And this is why John the Baptist is such a big deal, because he's ushering and he's God is preparing the people, saying, get ready, everything you have been waiting for, it's about to happen. And you look at the man John the Baptist, and his life paralleled that of Jesus so much. He went into the desert, and what did he do? After a life of prayer and study and penance, he wore camel's skin, which was the sign of a prophet. That's what Elijah used to wear. And he began to preach, and all that John the Baptist did was he pointed constantly to Christ. At the beginning, he didn't know who the Messiah would be. He said he's coming. And then once he figured out that Jesus was it, he pointed his followers and said, see the Lamb of God, follow him. John the Baptist he was absolutely never worried about himself. He didn't take his own popularity into consideration, his own comfort. He gets thrown into prison. His only concern in prison is, did I point them to the right guy? And he eventually foreshadows Jesus' death as a martyr for Christ. John the Baptist was an amazing figure. And that's why we celebrate him now, and why we make such a big deal out of his feast and give him a solemnity. So we're going to pray the creed after the gospel. Remind me, if I don't start the creed, give me the evil eye, and I will start doing it, okay? Entonces, feliz día, fiesta, solemnidad de San Juan Bautista. Y la verdad es que hoy en día no tenemos en cuenta lo grande que era Juan Bautista durante su día. Era algo increíble. Entonces yo acabo de tomar demasiado tiempo recitando un poco la historia de Israel, pero brevemente, después del exilio de los babilonenses, los judíos estaban esparcidos un poco por todo el imperio romano, ¿ok? Los profetas habían dicho que algún día vendrá el Mesías. Y este Mesías va a ser como una combinación de Moisés, del rey David y de los profetas. Todo en una persona. Y antes de que venga ese Mesías, vendrá de nuevo el profeta Elías. ¿Okay? Y los israelitas, después de 70 años en Babilonia, regresan. Tienen un periodo breve de profecía todavía en que hay profetas, y luego silencio, 400 años de silencio, que están esperando el Mesías, y eventualmente llega el día. Juan el Bautista sale públicamente, empieza a predicar, y la gente, porque los judíos se habían esparcido por todo el imperio romano, todo el imperio romano, todo el Mediterráneo, había judíos que estaban escuchando. Existe un profeta por la primera vez en 400 años. Los tiempos del Mesías están a punto de venir. Y Juan el Bautista, que era un santazo de verdad, predicaba, hacía mucha penitencia, estudio, oración, predicación. Esa era su vida. Y no le importa, le daba igual las opiniones de los demás. Él se había muerto a sí mismo a tal grado de que, mire, si me contradicen, no me importa por mi propia cuenta. Mi única función es preparar el camino para aquel que va a venir después de mí. Al inicio no sabía quién era. Eventualmente conocí a Jesús, su primo, y cayó en la cuenta de que ese es el Mesías. Y desde aquel día entonces y adelante, él siempre apuntaba a Jesús y decía a sus seguidores, síguele. Yo no soy el Mesías, síguele a él. Un breve tiempo después, le echaron en la cárcel. Y él anticipó la muerte de Jesucristo, siendo como el proto-mártir para la iglesia. Y Juan el Bautista nos enseña muchas cosas, pero yo creo que más que nada es la capacidad de morir a sí mismo solamente buscando la gloria de Dios. ¿Cuántos de nuestros problemas vienen del hecho de que estamos envueltos en nosotros mismos y las opiniones de los demás y cómo me tratan y qué tal difícil son mis circunstancias? Y Juan Bautista, que lo tenía peor que todos nosotros, a él le daba igual. Su única función era apuntar a la gente a Jesucristo el Mesías. Y por eso que tiene hoy en día, no solamente, bueno, hoy una solemnidad y también en febrero otra fiesta para sus martirios, de los pocos santos que tienen dos fiestas en el año litúrgico, para el Hijo y el Espíritu Santo.